Good evening, everyone. It's Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and if you're on the call live, you're in for a treat tonight. This is Vince Delmonte and Pat McGuire and John Barbin from EmpowerNutritionMealPlans.com, and we're really excited to have this opportunity to chat with you guys tonight. We've actually been hanging out today and preparing this call for you this evening, and we're going to get right into it because we know you have a lot of questions regarding the done-for-you meal plans that are going to be launched this Tuesday, June the 30th at 12 p.m. Eastern time. So we don't want to take up too much of your time this evening. We want to answer your questions and let you get on with the evening. So without further ado, if you're jumping on this call right now and you haven't submitted a question, please feel free to go to the Submit Your Question box and post your name and where you're from so we can speak to you directly. And everybody's muted right now. And we'll take one question at a time, and we're going to divvy them up. Pat's going to answer some, John's going to answer some, and so am I. So let's get started here. And there was a couple questions that I wanted to start off addressing that were that specifically had to do with my No Nonsense Muscle Building customers and my Your Six Pack Quest customers. And as you know, Empower Nutrition designed the meal plans for those products as well. And I've been getting a lot of questions on what's the difference between these ones coming out, the fat loss ones coming out on Tuesday, and the ones I currently own. And that's a great question. And the main difference is that the fat loss meal plans coming out on Tuesday are a three-stage approach. So what that means is you're getting three different sets of meal plans, which we're calling beginner, intermediate, and advanced. Another way to phrase it is phase one, phase two, phase three. And each phase increases in what we would call nutritional intensity. So each phase would be considered more intense, more advanced, and would get you leaner and more cut. So somebody in phase three would be somebody who's getting close to single-digit body fat and is getting ready for a photo shoot. Somebody in phase one would be somebody who's looking to lose the first 30, 40 pounds and hasn't really followed a traditional meal plan in the past. So there's not a huge difference between the meal plans you currently have if you're a muscle customer, aside from the caloric amounts. The caloric amounts in the muscle building program, as you know, are based on 45% carbs, 35% protein, and 20% fat. In the fat loss ones, they're more balanced to 40-30-30. In the fat loss meal plans that you have, they're slightly different too. The fat loss meal plans you have are based on, I believe it's a tad lower. Slipping my brain right now. Patrick, do you remember the ratio for the six pack ones?
Sure. You've got your six pack abs nutrition programs, and they had a higher protein content at about 40% protein, 25 carbs, and 35 fats. There was also a variance, Vince, as we gave them a 2-to-1 pre and post workout. That's 2-to-1 protein and carbs, pre and post workout to increase the metabolism and the response, and just to make sure they get everything in there and sort of what people believe in the uptake after workout is needed.
Okay, great. And so that's the main difference in phase one. So the ones you guys currently have are very similar to the phase one ones that you're going to get on Tuesday. The big difference and the biggest benefit is that the ones on Tuesday being released have a phase two and a phase three, which is a really, really critical component to continuing to drop your body fat, which is where a lot of people go wrong. It's where a lot of people hit plateaus and stop seeing the initial results that they were making right off the start. So what happens in phase two with the fat loss meal plans is we drop the carbs down to 30%, so we drop them from 40 to 30, the protein goes up to 40, and the fat stays the same at 30. Phase three is where you're really going to start becoming a brand new person inside and out, because by the time you progress there, you'll be on 20% carbs, 40% protein, which stays the same, and the fat jumps up to 40%. So the calories could be the same, but the macronutrient changes drastically, which is going to affect you very different from a performance standpoint and from a hormonal standpoint, and most importantly, for most of you, a visual standpoint. So that's the main difference. And then there's one more thing, which I think you guys are going to really get excited about, is that on the fat loss meal plans, there is basically more variety. So if you already have an 84-day, 2,000-calorie meal plan, you're going to now have an additional 84-calorie, 2,000-calorie meal plan, which is going to give you an extra 84 days of variety and delicious recipes. So it'll give you another opportunity to customize. I know a lot of you guys look at the 84 days and you basically take, you know, a dozen or so of your favorite meals and just rotate them around, and that's perfectly fine. So now you're going to have more options to customize your own meal plan to make it more realistic to stick with and easier to follow. So those were the biggest questions off the start. While we're on macronutrients and percentages and all that, wanted to ask Pat a question that was asked. A couple readers were inquiring, Patrick, about the breakdown, and asked, isn't this very similar to the zone?
Yeah, Vince, one of the great things is, you know already, and a lot of people don't know, is I got the luxury of traveling with Sam Gracie and Barry Sears, who are very, very big opponents of the zone. Barry Sears obviously is the zone doctor. And there's programs out there that will give you the answer and say, yeah, you can have a zone program, and this is reflects that similarly when it comes to ratios. But a Big Mac, mathematically, fits into a zone caloric ratio. And we all know that a Big Mac is not exactly the best hormonal response type food you want to be putting in your body, and a Big Mac is not going to get you a six-pack ab going on.
Okay. That's great. Yeah, that's really important, because as we all know, all calories aren't created equal. There's a bunch of questions that came in, and we're going to just start rotating around. John, let's start with a question that came in from Raduki, and he's asking how mixing carb. He was asking about mixing carbs and fats in the same meal, they were really concerned about how mixing fats and carbs in the same meal can lead to fat storage. And what do you think of that? And how could you address that concern?
I think this is a concept that, I don't know, maybe came up in bodybuilding, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, I don't know what they actually call it, eating each of your macronutrients by themselves. So eat all your fat by itself, and all your protein by itself, and all your carbs by itself. That kind of, I mean, no one could actually live like that. And a lot of foods have fats, carbs, and protein all mixed into them already, so you could never actually tease all three of them out anyways. So it's kind of, it's really complex to ever even try to do that, and it doesn't matter as far as fat storage goes. I mean, everybody who's ever lost weight has eaten mixed meals and burnt all kinds of fat along the way. I mean, Vince, you use these meal plans to get in shape for your show, and you were eating all three, you know, fats, carbs, and protein in your same meals, and, you know, you got in great shape. So it's clearly it doesn't matter if you're mixing carbs and fat in the same meal. I think this might be misinterpreting the idea of how fats and carbs affect insulin and fat storage. It's overeating that causes fat storage, not the specific mix of carbs and fat in any one meal. So no one should be afraid of actually mixing a carb and a fat in the same meal. It's definitely not going to force you to store fat.
That's a really good point. And I wanted to just kind of address this question as a whole, because there's a lot of questions here that have been submitted, and we're going to get to all of them, but I think they're asking the wrong question in the first place. And I find that a lot of people never reach their goals because they're waiting kind of for that magic bullet, that one tip, that one trick that's finally going to get them what they're looking for. And it doesn't work like that, guys. You don't make just simple, tiny, little additions or subtractions to your current diet plan and then see these incredible results. You're not going to add, you know, a superfood or a magic soup or some sort of supplement to compensate for a meal plan that's missing out on the primary principles of what proper nutrition should be. So we'll go through some of these more of these particular questions that I would consider advanced. But you really need to, I think what we really want to grasp at the start of this call, guys, is that these meal plans are a template to start off with. And they're a template for you to gain information and to work off of. There was a famous quote that was said, I don't know who quoted this, but it says, if it can't be measured, it can't be monitored. And if you don't have something to start with, then you don't know what to change. And that's why a lot of the time when we get specific questions, when somebody asks me, you know, should I cut, 100 grams of carbs from my diet, I can't answer that question. And I can't, because there's way more happening than just that little addition or subtraction. So if I know you're following something specific, then we can actually measure it. So, Pat, John, does that make sense, what I was just saying there?
I would say yes, absolutely. If you don't know where the person's starting at, you can't even start to help them. And these are a great starting point for most people, especially we got to remember that these are the sample plans, that you've downloaded and started to play with, and I've heard some great stories already coming out of the sample plans. But they're a starting point, and when you get the entire package, you've got a more accurate starting point based on the calories and the programs, because you may not be a phase one person. You may already be fairly athletic and lean, and you're in a phase two looking to move to phase three and have those full-blown abs. So you're right, Vince. You need to have something to quantify it against to be able to take 100 calories out of. You don't know where they're starting. They could be having 1,000 calories in carbs a day, and we got a problem.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to recite that principle and that take home message a couple times here. Let's keep moving through some of the calls here, some of the questions here. So I got a question from Daniel. Daniel calls himself the assassin here, and he's asking the question: the slingshot effect of calorie and protein deprivation. What do you think about eating really low calories for 2 days prior to a protein deprivation day with only fruit, and the next day very high calories and then protein overload? I'm really interested, but I want your advice before trying it. Have any of you tried it before?
I did, Vince, leading up to a show,
okay.
The final week before a show. It's insane. I mean, if you really want to go that far and really count that many calories, you're going to be an assassin to yourself and your lifestyle. And you're also hit and miss when you're doing that. You're not really sure if you can reproduce that success you had every time you do it, because as you get leaner, you're going to have to totally modify that approach. But leading up for a show, I used to do deprivation and depletion training to help super compensate the muscles to give that crazy swell to make the skin onion thin and make it pop. But as for everyday maintenance of lean building or fat loss and maintaining a lean body, there's no way I'm going to waste my time on that effort. But there is a place and a time for it. It's just not for everybody every day. But if that works for you, yeah, sure, go for it. I just don't want to subject you to that much pain counting that many calories every day and playing with the ratios all the time.
Pat,
yeah, and Daniel, I think John, do you want to say something?
Yeah, John.
Well, I just wanted to point out that the effect, the slingshot quote effect that they're even after, it's not that sort of thing. Like Pat said, isn't really fat loss anymore. That's just manipulating the thickness of your skin, the water content under your skin, and how bloated your muscles look to get up on stage. Like this is like really advanced. Final couple date 48 hours before a bodybuilding show techniques. This really has nothing to do with fat loss. Pat, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what we're talking about, right? Just manipulating the kind of look of your body once you've already lost all the fat.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would consider this. I would consider this one of those techniques that would be put under the wrong approach to nutrition. You know, this is one of those things where I think maybe Daniel and a lot of other people, I know I've had this mindset before too, they're looking at one isolated variable and, they're trying to make big changes when this isn't the real stumbling block. You know, the reason you're not dropping body fat is not because you're not doing the slingshot effect. You've got to start with the basics before, and this would be considered something really advanced, and I wouldn't even worry about this unless you're about 10 days out from our show, and then we'd go looking for this.
Real quickly on that note, too, upping and downing all your calories and ratios, it makes it far too easy to overeat, and that would sabotage all your fat loss success.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on, guys. I want to let's help Claudia out here. Claudia, the question, she's lactose intolerant, and I'll read her question. Can I decide if I can't? I can't decide to use non-dosage. Oh, okay. I think she just misspelled the word can't. Okay, I can't decide if I should use lactose in the form of tablets or not when eating dairy products. Is that still fine? Missing some question marks here. Let me just read through this. When eating dairy products with lactose in form of tablets, does it raise blood sugar faster than what it do you got that question in front of you there, Pat?
Yeah, I have it right here. And the first thing I have to say is it's kind of going back to your friend that asked you about the can I cut 100 calories or 100 carbs out of my diet, 100 grams or so. I don't know where you're starting, Claudia. I don't know how lactose intolerant you are. It's not even safe for us to guess on this because if you have a glass of milk and it makes you volatile, yeah, you have to take the tablets. Otherwise, you skip milk or skip some of the dairy products and find your calcium and other nutrients from other sources and skip dairy altogether. I know my brother personally has a lactose intolerance as well, and he's used tablets back and forth. And he's off and on, and sometimes it affects him, sometimes it doesn't. Worrying about the blood sugar raise, I mean, you can manipulate that with the rest of your meal. If you eat more or less protein, carbs, and fats, you'll have more or less blood sugar raise faster. I mean, it's not necessarily a direct response because of lactose tablets making it raise. And, in fact, it won't raise as much as if you had a glass of milk because the sugars from the lactose in the milk are much different than any sugar that somehow got into the tablet.
Okay, great. All right, John, I got a question. Question for you. This is from John in Birmingham. At what point does your body burn fat? If you're feeding it 6 meals per day, does it have to run low on carbs? If so, why don't I just go low carb? Does it have to run low on calories? Then why don't I just go low cal? Does it burn more in the morning during exercise? Then why do I start my meal plan at 6 a.m.? Why do they say to work out in the morning on an empty stomach? Do you burn less calories at night? Then why eat your last meal at 9 p.m.?
Okay, your body is burning protein or not carbohydrates and fat in some specific ratio 24 hours a day, and a tiny, tiny little bit of protein, but we won't even talk about that. Just after a meal, your body's burning mostly the sugar from the meal, but it's still burning a little bit of fat. So the number of meals you eat per day is more of it to do with balancing your energy levels than it has anything to do with controlling the way your body burns fat specifically, because it is burning fat throughout the day. The total number of calories you eat is what determines how much more fat you're going to burn. So if you work out in the morning, that's fine, but really you're just trying to create an overall deficit and have energy throughout the day. So that's why we have regular meals. It's kind of a two-part answer, really. To his 6 meals a day question, I'd say the regular meals also help control portions in that when you're eating that regularly, you have less cravings and less chance of overeating when you know you're going to be eating again and again. So I guess more frequent meals make it easier to eat less food throughout the whole day because it's the concept of grazing. So you don't need to run on low carbs. You're going to be eating carbs at every meal anyways, just not a ton of them. Like if we decided to eat a full pizza at lunch and, you know, five pieces of French toast in the morning and then, you know, a bowl of pasta in the evening, like that's too many carbs. But if you had a little bit of each, you'd be fine. So, I mean, low on carbs, you don't need to be depriving yourself of carbs. It's just overall portion control. So your body's kind of burning fat all the time. The timing of your meals is more for energy flow than it is for controlling fat burning throughout the day.
Okay. And John, the reason I wanted you to answer that, because I know everybody has different learning styles, and I know a lot of people, there's a certain percentage of the population that they need to have their questions answered. They need to understand the why behind things before it makes sense for them to actually do it. So, I mean, I have a different learning style. I'm guessing that John here is probably an academic, and he likes to study the theory. He likes to understand the why before he begins to do something. I'm a complete opposite. All you need to tell me is that the system works. If you do it in its entirety, you're going to reach your goals. I don't need to read the textbooks. I don't need to read the research. I just like to learn myself and do it. So thanks for answering that, because I know there's a lot of people listening on the call who like to understand the why, which is good, guys. But I want to encourage you, once you understand the why, you've done your homework, now it's time to take action. Now it's time to implement, and now it's time to actually go in the kitchen, cook your meals, go to the grocery store, and get down to it. So don't let questions you might not have answered hold you back from getting the results you want. So thanks for that. I've got a question here for Patrick, and again, we're going to probably repeat one of the same answers we've already had, but Richard's asking here, I'm a vegetarian and eat healthy, but I still can't lose the fat around my stomach. I eat at least 5 portions of fruit and veggies a day, usually more, plus nuts, cheese, pasta, rice, and small amounts of dark chocolate. I only drink water, 0% fat. Okay, and he lists a whole bunch of other good things that he's doing. I also work out hard 3 times a week and lightly each other, concentrating arms. Okay, so he's not losing results. So he's doing things that would be considered good and healthy, and he's not getting the results he wants. So what kind of advice would you guys give him? Pat, you want to go first?
Sure. First of all, you're being a vegetarian. You know, it's something that a lot of people do these days. It's very common now. The trick is with vegetarians, you have to be real intelligent to make it work properly. Food combination is key here, and Richard has done a lot of the right stuff. He's clearly telling us that. Can't lose the fat around his stomach. Well, part of the challenge is most vegetarians, and I hate to say this, but it's true, you see a lot of vegetarians that are extremely skinny and a lot of vegetarians that are extremely fat. And it has a lot to do with the food combinations, not getting in any good ratios. And basically, unfortunately, Richard, this is the point blank of the answer. Because you're eating pretty much just fruit and veg, and I'm not, you know, I'm seeing the pasta, but I don't know if it's white pasta or whole grain. How about brown rice? Brown rice has a little higher amino acid profile, although it's not a perfect amino acid profile, but it does have more than something as white pasta or even white rice for that matter. Things like quinoa need to be considered, and bulgur need to be considered because they do have a little higher protein content. Brown rice has, there's even companies marketing brown rice protein. I wouldn't choose that over some of the other choices for myself personally, but for many others, including vegetarians, that works wonders. So I don't see anything from here that says, yes, I'm getting protein and I'm getting good fats. What I'm seeing here is I'm a vegan and I'm not really sure what to eat to lose my stomach fat. So there is food combinations that will help that ratio. And again, Richard, I don't know the truth of this as to how many calories you're eating. So we can modify the ratios all we want, but we've got to count those calories. And if we don't start somewhere like that, we can't even play with the ratios and help suggest. But inside of the nutrition programs that you'll be receiving, you will have more variety to choose from. And you do have the substitution guide, which will take you a long, long way with the substitution guide, because then you can really learn to swap foods in and out at your own pleasure. And that'll make life a lot easier to hit those ratios and get a better protein for a vegan, that is.
Yeah, I wanted to that's really good there, John. And maybe you and me had this conversation. Sorry, you Pat there. We've all had this conversation before. And I've had this is probably these questions, again, we've all asked them. So, John, we're not picking on you because we've all asked them. But I got to say, unless you tell a nutrition expert, or if you're seeking out nutrition advice, unless you can tell me or any other nutrition expert you're seeking advice from exactly how many grams of carbs, proteins, and fats you've been eating every day for the last month or so, and unless you have a way of controlling how many grams of carbs you're going to be eating the next month, it's really hard to answer these questions for you, and it's almost a waste of time to even ask them on your standpoint. The bottom line is that if you don't have any idea of what you're eating, then it's really hard to know what to change, and it's hard to give out advice. So you know, just really, really encourage you. I mean, this is the solution that we're offering next week on Tuesday. I mean, this is the problem that we're solving for you guys. We are giving you an opportunity to have a template to follow, something that you can actually work off of, so you can manipulate one variable at a time. So if for some reason you're not changing, then you can add one thing or subtract one thing, but you know that everything else you were doing was standardized. So you're actually now in control. So you're not guessing your way. You're not hoping the fat comes off. And that's why bodybuilders and fitness models get such amazing results. I remember my first conversation with a bodybuilder, and I asked him what he was eating prior to his competition, and the guy was eating three things a day, six times a day. He was eating chicken, potato, and broccoli. And I'm not saying that's what you have to do, but it was very easy for him to manipulate his nutrition plan because he was eating, you know, two chicken breasts, two cups of broccoli, two potatoes, and if 1 week he didn't change at all, guess what he did? It was really simple. He would just subtract one potato out of one of the meals, go another week. If he didn't change, he would just subtract a second potato. But everything is so standardized, it's so easy to monitor. And that's essentially what we're doing. Now, trust, don't worry, our plan's got more variety than that. But that's how you get results. Does that make sense, Pat and John?
That's a really good point, Vince. Without knowing where you're starting, there's no way to know how to change it and how to get to where you want to go. So, I mean, another really interesting point, there's a lot of research that shows people, all of us, I mean, us three included, can't remember what we ate. Even if we think we can remember, most people, even when tested in like a laboratory setting, even 24 hours later, won't remember what they ate at the meal like the day before. And what happens is like the researchers will give them a meal, and the researchers will have everything in the meal completely measured. And 24 hours later, they ask the people, okay, so what was in the meal you ate last night? And they'll miss huge chunks of what was in the meal. I guess what I'm trying to say is without a guide, like a written guide, and you have to follow the guide, and you have to trust that you followed the guide to know what you actually ate, to your point, Vince, you know, we can't even help you if you haven't been keeping track of what you've been eating. And if you don't have it written down as you're eating it, if you wait like a day or two to write it down, you're probably going to forget. That's one of the big problems with nutrition research is a thing called diet records. I used to do this with a lot of clients is, when they ask for nutrition advice, I'm like, well, you got to do a record. You have to write out what you've been eating for the past, you know, two weeks, and then or start today and over the next 2 weeks, write down everything you eat. But most people do it in a recall fashion, like they wait till the end of the day or they wait a couple of days and then write everything they think they ate in the past 2 days. But even 24 hours later, you're going to forget a lot of stuff. So it's absolutely critical to have some kind of guide or something written down. So if you're following the meal plan, like Vince said, just if you're not quite getting where you want to go, you can simply just remove a couple of pieces of food and then continue on. But without the guide, you're just kind of floating around on the sea. You're just kind of, the wind's just going to push you wherever.
Right.
Yeah. That's a great point.
Sorry, Vince. I just want to let you know, like, the way to use this as a workbook, guys. John, you've seen my books when I was competing, when we used to train together, and you know, I wrote down every food, every gram, and every weight, and it's ridiculous. But this is the simplicity of that, is that you could print out the sheet, guys, or anybody, girls that are on the phone, anybody can print out the sheet and actually just take it to the kitchen where it actually works. Don't leave it on your computer screen. Take a red pen to it and slash when you cheat and put a green mark or a blue mark or whatever where you actually follow the plan to spec. And that is the layman's or the cheat man's version of a journal, right, John?
That's a great point. I mean, even if you can't hit the meal plan 100%, I mean, the first thing is having the plan in front of you, and there's your template. The next thing is like what Pat just said, how many days did you hit it, how many meals did you hit it right on, and how many meals did you miss? We're all going to miss meals. I mean, we're going to go out, something's going to come up, Vince is going to call me up and say, you know, let's go for a beer or something. And if that wasn't on the plan, well, I can just cross off that night that there's a beer added to that meal or something. So, I mean, but at least you have the guide. Like, at least you know where you're starting. And then from there, you can see how many days you hit it, how many meals you hit it, and how many you're off. And then, that's your first step to knowing how close you are.
Mm-hmm. Those are great points. And I think we kind of drifted to maybe into a zone that may have just intimidated a few people listening. And we just want to reassure everybody that that, you know, you really are in control of what kind of results you get, how fast the fat comes off, how healthy you get, how quickly you improve your metabolism, and you're in complete control. What we mean by that is if you've downloaded the 7-day sample meal plan, one of the things we wanted to show you was that you basically have, I think, about 5 meals a day. We wanted to talk a bit about a concept called compliancy, and 5 multiplied by 7, there's 35 meals in the week. The closer you stick to, the more compliant you are to those 35 meals, the better results you're going to get. So if right now you're only compliant to, say, 5 out of those 35 meals, then you're around 15% compliant. Now, if you became around 30% compliant, you're going to double your results. So essentially, if you're dropping 1 pound of fat, you can maybe potentially lose up to 2 pounds of body fat per week. The closer you move to the 10 out of 10 compliant zone, the better results you're going to get. So our standard for everybody is to get you eventually to 80 to 90% compliancy. And we can tell you right now, a lot of trainers and a lot of fitness experts are always hesitant to guarantee anything in the fitness industry because it really comes down to what you're doing at home. But I can tell you right now, confidently, if you're compliant to these meal plans at least 90% of the time, that would be, 31 divided by 35. So that's hitting around 31 or 32 of those 35 meals a week. You are going to get into your dream physique. You're going to get your best body ever. I can guarantee you that. And you're going to feel your best, and you're going to function and perform your best as well. So that's your goal. That's your goal. So this isn't an overnight program. You know, it might take you 3 months to get 50% compliant. And you might stay on phase one for 6 months until you become 90% compliant and then move to phase two. So you really are in control, and we want to reassure you that the more committed you are to your goals, the better results you'll see.
That's a good point, Ben.
I wanted to ask you guys one more question, a really, really big question. We've got a few other smaller ones. One of the big questions we've been getting a lot on is a lot of people have been looking at the meal plans, and they're asking, Pat, John, these don't add up. The calories don't add up. And, how am I supposed to follow this if the calories aren't right? Can you explain a bit of the science and the methodology you guys have intentionally factored into the plans to reassure people that what they're doing will get them the results they want?
Absolutely, we can, Vince. One of the number one things that we want to say is that the goal, like you said, is the compliance. You want to be up to 80, 90% of the time doing 100% of your best. And one of the things we've done is we've built in, as John likes to call it, a variance has been factored into this. And the reality is that to make substitution and swapping of ingredients or meals quick and easy, the best example I can give you is that 28 grams of protein from chicken breast would have approximately 5 grams of fat, whereas the exact same 28 grams of protein from a steak or beef would carry about 7 grams of fat. The goal here with these programs is to lay it out so you can quickly substitute and swap to make the meal exactly as you want it without getting a personalized type approach or a one-on-one coaching. But just to get it that you can do this stuff without thinking about it. You know, the diet books you read, they make you think way too much, confuse the heck out of you, and they don't even tell you what to do. And by having this variance built in, you're going to eat approximately the calorie amount that is recommended for you with these meal plans, depending on your body weight and lean mass. For example, the 2,000 calorie for guys or 1,600 calories that we use for women, you know every day you're going to hit that number, but the variance allows for about a 10% increase in calories. So although it may not add up every day, and maybe you're going, well, I'm actually eating 1,701 calories for the ladies or something like that, on some days that variance is built in because your calories and your diet is going to fluctuate every day. Even if you were that bodybuilder that Vince talked about that ate the exact same meal, today his potato might be bigger than it was yesterday. And that variance actually makes life really simple to stick to the plan and do your best. Like Vince said, even if you stuck to this 100%, the variance is built in that you'd be 80, 90 to 100% compliant, and that is what's going to breed those consistent, successful results. Does that help?
That's a great point, Pat.
Yeah.
I just wanted to add to that. So the point of the variance and the reason why some of the calories don't seem to add up, I mean, when they're not adding up, we're talking about 50 or 60 calories, it's because it's exactly so you can have the meal the substitution guide and substitute in and out any food you want in and out of any meal. But like Pat said, it's really difficult to decide how to substitute a carb, a fat, or a protein in and out of a meal. We couldn't pick, like I said before, almost every food has some degree of carbs, fats, and proteins in all of them. I mean, there's even a little bit of protein in corn or rice, but we don't put corn and rice in the program as a protein food. We put it in as a carb food. So the little bits of extra carbs, fats, or proteins that show up in your different types of foods are accounted for. So you can just go to the substitution guide and know that, you know, like Pat said, 30 grams of protein out of chicken or 30 grams of protein out of beef, the meal plan's still going to work. So I wouldn't get hung up on what the actual calorie number says, because it's all the program's already that's already calculated for in the program, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, that's great. Thanks, guys. I want to move on to the next question here. We got a question from one of our neighbors here, Leslie from Mississauga, and she looks like she's getting some great results here. Leslie, good job here. She's a mother, and basically her situation is that she's preparing her food, her lunches and her dinners for the work week one day a week. And what she's doing is she's preparing them for four nights in a row. So she does that for her lunches as well. So apart from a lack of weekly variety food, she's just concerned that, is this the amount eating the same foods every day, is that normal? Or are there any drawbacks to that? What do you guys think? Pat, go first.
Yeah, I'll take care of this one real quick. Is that perfect? Great work, Leslie. That's the down and dirty. But you can have the same meal all the time. Yeah, you're going to lack here and there in some nutrients. But, you know, a lot of us these days are taking in something from shakes or multivitamins that are going to provide to make up for some of those nutrients we're lacking. I myself, when I'm really focused on nutrition and training and dieting, I actually do eat almost the exact same meal all week long, five meals. I mean, it's pretty simple, stupid that way, and it works. And for the busy mom and busy dad that, hey, they can only cook on, say, Sunday night, Friday night, or Sunday night, Wednesday night, like I used to do all the time when preparing for shows and things like that, or even just trimming up. Yeah, I cooked everything on a Sunday, and it was the same meal for the next 3-4 days till I got to my next cooking day, as I like to call it. And then I would make the same meals again. It just made life really easy. Now, using the meal plans provided, you can actually substitute any dinner for any other dinner, any breakfast for any other breakfast. Because of the way we've set them up, it makes it really easy to do. But here's a really unique factor that you may not remember, Vince. We did talk about a long time ago in the gym when we first started doing some work together, and that was that the study we did with North Americans, they showed that people typically chose only 3 breakfasts, 6 lunches, and 9 dinners and repeated those throughout the course of the year. I didn't believe the numbers until I went home and started writing out my own daily diets. And even on my non-diet seasons, I pretty much only had 3 breakfasts, 6 lunches, and 9 dinners. It was almost embarrassing that some genius from school did a research and proved me wrong about my own knowledge of what I ate. And that goes back to John, the diet diary. If you don't know what you're eating, you don't know what you're eating. And so we can use the same meals over and over again. But I still say eat a rainbow diet, mix it up, and enjoy the process.
Yeah, if you don't mind me just adding one more thing before the next question, I was thinking about this for a little while, and I honestly believe that too much variety can actually backfire on you. And I discovered this in the gym with my training. Changing up your training program too often doesn't allow you to experience the results before moving on to something else. Sometimes it's good to really create some commitment and consistency to some certain foods and preparing them. And variety can be structured in different ways. You don't have to have variety all through the day. I mean, you could stick to the system you're following right now, Leslie, for a couple of weeks, and then for the next couple of weeks you can follow the same system but switch up some of the meal options. And I think the key is to continue doing what's working. You know, don't fix what's not broken. If you're getting to your goals because of this routine you've created, then just because some textbook says you should have a little more variety, that could totally sabotage your everything that you've built here and that's working for you, and that could start a slow downward process because you start becoming frustrated and consumed and obsessed, which can backfire on you. So the take-home message here, guys, is just to keep doing what's don't fix what's not broken. And those are some really great points there from Pat too. So let's move on to another question here from Jay. John, you can answer this one. The meal suggests training for 5 days in a row, then 2 days off. Are we in danger of overtraining if we do that? Also, do the meal plans have an overfeed day? And I think Jason might be confused that these are generic meal plans, but I'll let you answer that.
Yeah, Jason, the meal plans, those are training suggestions, as you say, suggestion. So you don't have to train 5 days on and 2 days off. That's one training style that happens to be suggested here. Just a side note about training. If you currently train 4 or 5 days in a row, that's fine. I mean, anyone can build up to that. But people who are just starting training or only train a couple of days a week or 3 days a week, definitely you have to build up to that kind of volume. But I mean, people can get to the point where their frequency is, you know, 6, 7 days in a row plus, you know, doubles on some days. But again, you have to work your way up to that. So are you in danger of overtraining? Only if you don't already train at that level. So remember, those are just suggestions. You don't actually have to do the kind of training that's suggested there. There's nothing to do with the meal plan. You don't have to worry about the training suggestions. Do the meal plans have an overfeed day? No. An overfeed day would be sabotaging all the work you did on all the other days. There's nothing like an overfeed day built in, but you can have, what you would call a day off or some time off. Pat, what would you say about they don't have an overfeed day built in, but what would you say about overfeed day would really be the concept of taking a break. What would you say about that?
Well, that goes back to the cheat day, the one cheat meal. I always recommend, and I actually tell my clients that I deal with personally, don't do that too often, but even they are told it is mandatory to have one cheat meal a week. It's a reward. John, you know, when I was dieting for shows all the time, I would have a small bucket of Haagen-Dazs, a slice of pizza, and a protein shake on a Sunday night, and that was every Sunday. And people are going, hold on, you don't do any cardio. I mean, I really did minimal cardio, but I kept losing fat, and they're like, wait a minute, you have ice cream? And the reality is it resets and it causes your body to relax. Your body starts to say, thanks, wait a minute, I'm not on a diet anymore. And it actually, the extra calories will fuel a spike in metabolism for a short period of time. But the next meal, guess what? I'm back on plan. And the body keeps on burning like it's getting extra. So I don't say an overfeed day, like John said, don't sabotage all the hard work you've done, but reward yourself once a week. I mean, it's barbecue season right now. Families are getting together. Let's enjoy the summer and have that Saturday night barbecue with the friends and have a drink or two if you want, you know. But don't start a breakfast and finish a dinner. That doesn't count as a cheat meal at a buffet.
Good.
You got that, Vince?
Yeah, I like to call it a treat meal.
Nice call.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to be careful. You don't let the meal turn into an entire day.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so we there's a question here. Hey, guys, just actually before we wrap up, we're about 45 minutes right now. We'll probably go about another 10 minutes, and I know a lot of you guys may be busy tonight. You may have to slip off the call. So before you do that, I just want to remind you that we first want to thank you guys for staying on the call tonight and just showing us your commitment to your goals. It's always encouraging to meet people with, you know, big thinkers who really want to achieve bigger things in life, and you know, starting with your body is one of the greatest ways to achieve some of your more bigger non-physical goals as well. So congrats to you, and just want to remind you that this Tuesday on June the 30th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, the site Empowered Nutrition Meal Plans is going live, and we'll be making available Stage 1, Stage 2, and Stage 3 of the Done For You Fat Loss Meal Plans. They'll be available for half price only for the first 3 days, and that's just our way to make these accessible to as many people as possible. And we know that dieting can be very confusing, consuming, and challenging, and it doesn't need to be. And I sympathize with people who are just struggling with losing body fat, because it doesn't need to be a struggle. It can be really simple. It can be enjoyable, and you can really enjoy all the foods that you eat. So we're looking forward to offering you this system to really just change your lifestyle and to bring the fun back into eating, so that you can finally start losing, you know, up to 10, 20, 30 pounds or even more of body fat. And you can even start seeing that in the next couple of weeks. So there's a little push for you guys to jump on board on Tuesday, and we'll finish up with the rest of the questions here, guys. So Doug had a question from Doug from Brampton. I think we answered your question a little earlier. You're asking about the programs looking similar to the Zone. So I'll move on to a question here from this is a good question. We haven't talked about alcohol yet, and this is from Mika, I believe, in Finland. And she wants to know if we have any ideas considering alcohol consumption other than don't drink. Mika, I apologize, I'm not sure if that's a male or female name, but he or she drinks about once a week. Even though I know it's not good for fat loss, are there any ways to battle the adverse effects of alcohol when using it? What's your guys' take on alcohol?
I'll hit this one. The alcohol's has some amount of calories in it, depending on how you have it mixed. I'm not saying you should never drink alcohol. I mean, we all probably have some every now and then. My best answer for anyone who's drinking alcohol on a regular basis, just socially or whatever, you either have to do a little bit of work on your own to figure out how many calories you're going to be consuming out of that alcohol, and maybe knock it out of one of the meals or a couple of the meals the day of, or consider that your cheat meal, I guess, as Pat would have called it. Bottom line is it's extra calories you're consuming. So the event of consuming the alcohol, like wherever you are when you're having it, that's just more calories. So if they're not on your plan, you're going to have to my best answer is to subtract some calories out of that day on the plan to compensate for the calories you're taking in, you know, with whatever your alcohol is mixed with, if it's a beer or mixed with Coke or something like that. As far as adverse effects, I wouldn't worry too much about, I mean, unless you're drinking excessively 3 or 4 nights a week, there's not going to be really adverse effects. It's just the extra calories you're consuming. Pat, what would you say?
What's my take on alcohol, you ask, Vince? Fantastic.
Yeah.
it's all about the calorie manipulation. I mean, you could have... Let's just tell the truth. I have a friend that he liked alcohol, and he incorporated it into his diet. He had to have one drink a night, but he offset that with the rest of his daily calories, and specifically the carb calories, as John was sort of mentioning there. Most alcohols are carbs. Most of the mixes are carbs. You know, you can't have 10 Diet Coke and rums. It doesn't count. You're not going to get lean. But can you have one? Yeah. And can you choose Diet Coke over a regular Coke or whatever it is? Yeah, absolutely. Just make the smarter choices. But like John said, that's a substitution, and it's a choice that you make for your own desires. When it comes down to it, when you really want to dial in, though, Vince, I remember at one point I said, no, you got to cut it out, and you got ready for your show, and then afterwards I'm pretty sure I remember you mentioning you rewarded yourself.
Yeah, no, it's true. I find alcohol is a huge culprit for me. I don't know why, but I find alcohol and dairy, I find when I cut those two foods completely, within 3-4 weeks, my body's like literally change overnight. It's amazing how fast. So I don't know if that means I was drinking too much alcohol or dairy prior to cutting it, but I noticed a drastic change. So it's a personal thing. Last thing I just say on this note is, you know, it sounds like you got the right mentality. I mean, you know, it's not going to help you. And I always ask myself, you know, is this going to get me closer to my goals or further from my goals? And if you can live with your answer, then proceed with responsibility of the action you take. So that's my personal take with that. There's three more questions, guys. Maybe we can bang these out in the next maybe one minute each on them. We got a question all the way from Australia, Melbourne, Australia, which I've yet to visit, hoping to do one day. This is from John. My question is, if I follow a healthy nutrition plan, and let's say I decide to play sports such as basketball on random days, really intense for 30 minutes or something, 1 hour, what should I eat after basketball? And also, I'm quite lean, about 10% body fat. However, my cheeks are bloated. Why does my face store fat even though I'm quite lean? And it seems the leaner I get, the more fatter my cheeks get. He's asking if he's got Cushing syndrome. So some of these questions have been submitted as the call's been going on. So I usually read the question before we answer it. So this one might involve some personal attention from somebody who can actually meet you, maybe a doctor. But we can help you out with what to eat after your basketball games. What do you guys suggest?
I mean, it's not too critical after your basketball game per se. I mean, I wouldn't wait too long, but if you our meal plans usually factor in some kind of shake, because the thing I would say most often is after any kind of activity, an actual food meal that you bite into is a little harder to handle than a quote liquid meal or like a snack. So I would stick with a shake after basketball or any kind of workout, really. And as far as the Cushing syndrome thing, we're not qualified to diagnose, or I mean, we wouldn't know anything about that. You'd have to see your physician for that one. The only other thing I could think of is, as you're getting leaner, if your face hasn't changed, maybe it just seems like it's a little more bloated because the rest of your body's getting leaner. But either way, that's, you'd need to talk to somebody local and a physician about that. Pat, what would you say about exercise nutrition?
Liquid all the way. I work with quite a few elite athletes. I work with some pro hockey teams and whatnot. And the one thing I tell, the takeaway message is, make it simple, make it fast, make it liquid. And I would say, you know, using a quick electrolyte drink and a scoop or two of protein powder is the best, fastest for replenishment. Or, you know, even a chocolate milk with an extra scoop of protein. Unfortunately, chocolate milk's getting a great marketing program, but I think it's a little low in protein, and you guys need to replenish. I mean, you're working hard. You're trying to change your body, and to just have a great big 1 liter of chocolate milk, wrong, but to have a half liter with extra protein, that's bang on. You're going to get quick, simple decisions, quick, simple results, and you don't have to think about it too much.
That's great, guys. There's two questions here I'm going to answer. They're both a couple of my hard gainers who's asked some good questions I want to address. But before I do that, I want to put you guys on deck and prep you for one last question I want to ask you two. Because Pat, I mean, you're the founder and creator of these meal plans. I mean, you've been working with regular folk every day for the past, I'm not even sure, maybe final 5+ years. And John, I know you've got your degree in research and nutrition, and you've studied this more than anybody I know, and you know the science behind these. So before we wrap up, I'd love to ask you guys why you know that these meal plans will work if people put them to work. So I'm going to just answer two questions. Some muscle building guys. The first one is from Hunter from Texas, and he's finishing up a mass building cycle and wants to cut down and show off his sexy abs. What's the best way to slim down my caloric intake without losing too much muscle in the meantime? That's a great question, bud. first off, let's talk about training first, because I believe your weight training will have the biggest impact on whether you maintain your muscle or lose any muscle mass. Try and lift as heavy as possible and continue doing the same weight training program you're doing now. So even though you're going to start cutting your calories, I want you to keep lifting the weights as if you're trying to build muscle. So don't mentally say to yourself, okay, I'm cutting calories, I should do higher reps, or I should take it easier now because I'm not getting enough nutrition. I want you to train just as hard, because you're going to send the signal to your brain to keep as much muscle as possible. So you need to do the same thing with your weight training to keep the muscle that you did to build the muscle. So that will take care of your concern probably about 60% of the way. In terms of nutrition, just drop the calories gradually. The biggest mistake you can make is if you're taking in 4,000 calories now, to drop them right down to 2,000. I would drop them down about 500 calories every 1 to 2 weeks. And if you do it gradually, you shouldn't notice any loss in muscle. And to be honest, in my personal opinion, I find that that's an overrated myth. A lot of guys say, I'm afraid of losing muscle. I've never really met anybody who's you've lost muscle. You've got to be on Survivor for 40 days to lose a substantial amount of muscle. You've got to literally starve yourself to lose muscle. So don't worry about that. Just take those two tips and you'll be fine. And the final question here, before I let John and Pat wrap this up, Chris from Crystal Lake, he's personally not trying to lose weight. My objective is to put on lean muscle mass. Would this program work for me, or can I modify it to get healthy mass gain results? So it depends how big you are, Chris, because Pat, how high do the calories go on the fat loss plan?
We brought them right up to 2,500, and anyone trying to really lose fat and eating 2,500 calories is a big dude. That's all I can say. Even some of our friends, when it comes down to it, to the final stages, that are like 300 pounders when they start, and you know they're still like 250 on stage, they've gotten under 2,000 calories just at the final stages of really shredding up. So it depends how far you want to take it, and the main goal is feeding that lean machine. You need to know your lean body mass to be able to feed that thing, and not feed the fat. So to get a fat loss program for 2,500 calories, most of us are lying to ourselves, and we do not need that many.
Okay, so Chris, depends how big you are. I mean, if you're under 150 pounds, you'll probably gain some muscle mass off 2,500 calories. But these ones only take you so far. I'm actually going to recommend that you go with my muscle program instead, VinceDelMontefitness.com. That would probably be a more appropriate response for you. If you're ultra skinny, as I just said, like 110, 150 pounds, then these will get you started. And I do want to just say something regarding these meal plans. Whether your goal is to gain muscle or lose fat, I wouldn't be surprised if you do gain some muscle mass, even though these meal plans are going to put you in a caloric deficit based on the metabolic calculator we give you to determine where you should be starting. Because building muscle isn't just a function of calories, of energy in versus energy out. It also has to do with hormones. And if you create the right hormonal environment in your body, you'll be able to gain lean muscle mass. So that's why there are people who build muscle undernourished, but they're eating a variety of balanced foods, so their body creates the right hormones to manufacture muscle. So you may experience some muscle mass gains. You may gain a couple pounds of muscle while you're eating balanced and healthy. So look at that as a bonus. Not only are you going to lose loads of body fat, but you're gaining some muscle mass and keep your metabolism up and keep the fat off, which is ultimately how you stay lean and not put it back on. So we have a minute. You know what, I'm going to just extend the call here an extra 15 minutes, but we're only going to talk for an extra maybe 2 or 3 minutes. I just want Pat and John to wrap up with their final thoughts. And thanks for staying on the call all the way to the end. Again, I admire your commitment to your goals and trust that this was very helpful for you. What would be your last piece of helpful advice, and why do you find these meal plans are working so well, Pat?
Well, Vince, as you know, we've worked together for about 5 years, but I've been doing this business for 14 when it comes to diet and body manipulation, or physique augmentation, as I like to jokingly call it. But the reality is, proof is in the pudding. They do work. You know, it's about the consistent calories. It's about the consistent ratio, the consistent nutrients. If you do anything that is a strategic game plan and a professional has helped you achieve it long enough, you're going to be able to get those results. And the goal with this is you get those results by following these plans and learning nutrition so that you can move on to help teach others or even just share little nuggets from each program. But not only do we do this for thousands of people a month, literally, I mean, more than that many times often, but we actually have done it many times ourselves and helped.